All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles, and God willing, we're going to launch into the third chapter of 1 John this evening. And what a wondrous chapter this is. I have been so excited and thrilled to hear so many reading ahead. And praise the Lord. You need to, and to be refreshed. And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will continue to open and to reveal the wondrous truth is here. But, you know, when that light goes on, it's just such a wondrous thing. And I remember Brother Hill telling me a long time ago, he said, you know, son, if the Lord so sees fit to just give you one thing when you come in and listen to a study, be thankful. What a glory that is. And I'm so grateful to him. And it seems like many times he's been giving me more than just a one thing. But you know what? Let's not despise the day of small things. And I think 1 John might be a small little book, but let me tell you, it's a mighty book, and I hope you're enjoying it. Praise be to God. All right, we'll pick it up in the first verse, and it says there, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And isn't that a wonderful beginning? What manner of love is this, that we should be called the sons of God? And I just think, man, does that not say it all? I think sometimes in my life when I began to complain or began to moan about different things and thinking that maybe I was passed by or overlooked or something didn't seem really fair. And I'm thankful to the Lord that he'd brought that verse to my heart many, many times. What manner of love is this? That the Father, praise God, my Father, your Father, has called us the sons of God. I just think how wonderful and beautiful. And as you read that, that word manner, what that's referring to is a country or a people. And basically it says that it's not from a country that we know. It's not from a people that we know, this love. And as we were rejoicing back there in Ephesians over the love of God, it's a love that surpasses the knowledge of men. And this love that he's talking about here is from heaven itself. All the spiritual blessings in the heaven in Christ. And I'm just so grateful to God. This is it. And you'd think, well, why is it this love? How did he love us so? Well, I think Romans 5:8 says it so clearly to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I hope you can get your heart around that one. I mean, we're talking very God of very God. We're talking God's only begotten Son. And he didn't come, as we were rejoicing on Sunday, to save any good person here. Because there wasn't one. So get over that. And while we were yet sinners, he saved us. Praise be to God. He gave us his Son, and Jesus Christ died for us. Now think of this. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. The Word of God tells us there's none righteous. The Word of God tells us there's no seekers of God, not one good. We have a mouthful of cursing, bitterness, destruction, and misery was all we knew. But God. But God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, when the enemy thinks he's got you cornered, and more importantly, when you think he's got you cornered, by grace, may you utter, but God. But God, that's it. He's done. He's finished. It's in that love, brothers and sisters. He gave his only begotten Son, and he calls us sons. The Word of God says that we're even partakers of his divine nature. So is it any wonder, as you go to work, maybe even within your own family, there's different ones that aren't saved, that they really don't know you. They don't understand you. How could you come to church so much? What is it about this Bible that makes you the way you are? They don't know because they don't know him. And understand that, brothers and sisters. We're not fighting people. We're not wrestling, in a sense, flesh and blood, as the Word of God tells us. And know that. It's the enemy. It's spiritual wickedness in the highest of places. And I'll tell you, God will encourage you. And God will encourage you to start seeing souls just the way He did. He died for the sins of the world. Isn't that wonderful? Every one of them. And it's there for everybody. And I believe that when God allows us to have that love, praise God. But this is a life that is given to us. And I'm going to tell you something. That's why when people try to come at this and study it as literature and things of that nature, it's never going to work. It has to be spiritually discerned. It has to be implanted, praise God, in us. And that is only done through a new birth and the new birth of His divine nature. Now let's go over to verse 2. Beloved, and that's much loved. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, what a moment that's going to be. When we see Jesus. And it is worth it all. Not it will be worth it all. I appreciate that. But you know what? That wife, she knows right now, it is worth it all. Praise God, there's no drawing back. We're going on. Praise God, that grace is so abundant, it's so sufficient. I'm going to receive it. By the grace of God, I want to be fully open to it, Lord. Bring it on. I need it, and we're going on. So it's so wonderful. And praise God, this verse 2 even gets better. We're not just called a son, but I am a son. I am a son of God. And it's not someday, it's not will be, but I am a son now. You are a son now. Know your place. I think of a little man over here that was having some trouble with some anxiety. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar to many of us? How about the name Jesus? Devil, I'm a son of God. See you later. I'm a partaker in the divine nature. He's given me His life. I'm fully accepted in the Beloved. Praise be to God. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, what we have, if we just get our eyes open to it. We are an heir of God. We are born of Him. We are rightful heirs to His mercy, His grace, His righteousness and holiness. And I think about what a home I've got in Jesus. What a home you've got in Jesus. The courts, the gates are always open. But even more so than that, praise God, that veil has been rent in twain. And I can go right into the Holy of Holies. David was satisfied to rejoice and to praise just in the courts where he could dwell. But praise the Lord, into the Holy of Holies. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you glad? Do you realize the communion that you have with God? Oh my. And it happens anywhere and everywhere. Just in that wondrous name, Jesus. It's peace. It's satisfaction. It's rest. I'm in the throne room. I forgot even what was bothering me, Lord. I'm just here with You. What do You want to talk about? Your grace, Your mercy, Your love, Your peace. That's how it is, isn't it? I'm talking about when He just captivates you. Captivates your thoughts by the grace of God. And we enter in. I'm telling you, it's gone. We know that He's got it. And brothers and sisters, what a battle it is to, again, just lay hold of what He's made us, sons of God. Boldly into the holies of holies. The throne of grace, direct access to everything. Think about the Word of God telling us this. We have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavens in Christ. There isn't one lacking. There isn't anything lacking. The only thing that's lacking is your believing Him. That's it. It's already there. I think about the provision. I think about how God has made us fully able in Him. Praise the Lord. But here it goes on to tell us in this second verse. Notice this. But we know it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, He tells it like it is. He's not casting any illusions here. We are still in human form, brothers and sisters. It doth not appear. And we're battling every single day. And one of the greatest battles I think there is our old human mind that is so quick to judge not just others, but to judge myself. Absolutely. Point out my failings. Pointing out my shortcomings. It's called self-condemnation. And brothers and sisters, often we sit in that. Devil wants us to be right there. What a snare it is. Telling you how wicked you are. How no good you are. How unworthy you are. Well, praise the Lord. I already know that. Behold the Lamb. I'm a son of God. And that's what he says. I know he tells me by his grace he did it. But it's going to take him for forever and all the eternities to come to even begin to show me that love that was in it. Isn't that amazing? Know who we are. Know what we are. And that's what we're going to learn tonight by his grace. More and more of this. See, these are God's promises. The moment that we see him, praise God. Think of that, how we can abound in hope. I don't have to be in all my shortcomings anymore because I'm going to be like him. And when we see him, brothers and sisters, your faith is going to be made whole. One of the greatest things that really hit me one time is, you know, when I'm with him, I don't need faith any longer. I'm just dwelling with faith. Isn't that a precious? But I'm going to tell you something. He wants us to have that now. See, she just doesn't become a wife. She is a wife. She operates as that. She operates with every provision that he has given her. Not in any strength or confidence of myself, but in absolute full assurance of faith in his confidence, in his undying love for me. That I know that he loves me. And I know that he has provided that. And I know that I'm victorious in whatever he has me to do. So praise the Lord, we are going to be like him. We are going to be full of faith and hope and joy and love. Not what it appears what it'll be, but someday we'll be like him. The appearing of the Lord. And praise the Lord, if you never thought that you were excited about seeing Jesus, I don't know how you couldn't be excited about that. Now do you understand why your love is appearing? All of his benefits toward me. All of them. And there they are. And it gets better and better and better and better. And you want it so soon to be like him. To be with him. And never to stray again. Now, the Lord had me thinking of this, the sons of God. And oftentimes, I get phone calls or some people come by. And I had a dear, dear sister one time talking to me about the sons of God. How many times it talks about the sons of God throughout the Word of God, like it does right here in the second verse of the third chapter. And how many different meanings there really are in that, because most of the time we just kind of skim over it. But the Lord really gripped my heart and had me to get into this sons of God, because I think there's something very special that the Lord is giving us here in 1 John, because he's clearly defining the ranks throughout this study. You think about the little children that he talks about. And then he talked about the sons or mature sons. And then he also talked about fathers. And now we're going back to sons of God again. But in this second verse, this sons of God, if you look this up, it means strengthened children. See, the little children that we read about earlier and we're going to read about again tonight, if the Lord tarry, those are infants. Infants. These are strengthened children, but yet still children. And it led again to seeking out a little bit of the difference here, because when I think of the sons of God, I have to tell you, my heart just leaps for Romans 8. And I want us to go there for a minute, and let's turn over to Romans 8, and let's read verses 14 and 19. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and then 19. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now this is something, isn't it? Now we've read here in our text in John that because of our belief, we are the sons of God. Amen. But now this word in the 8th chapter is telling us if we're led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And let's go down to the 19th verse, what it says there. For the earnest expectation of the creature or the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, if we know what's going on in this 8th chapter, it's talking about the difference of heirs and joint heirs, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we also may be glorified together with Jesus Christ. So I think you can hear the hint here in what he's saying, that there is a difference in these sons. They're both sons, but the very first son that it's speaking of here that we talked about in 1 John is a word in the Greek which means, pronounced technon. And as we've said, it means a strengthened child. But the son that we read here in the 8th chapter of Romans is huios. And huios, I'll read you the definition here. It says that those who revere God as their father, true worshipers of God, those who in character and life resemble God, those who are governed by the Spirit of God. Now listen to this, it even gets a little deeper. The same term, son of God, is most often used in speaking of Jesus Christ. Huios. As enjoying the supreme love of God, united to him in affectionate intimacy, privy to the saving counsels, obedient to the Father's will in all his acts. It's a little bit deeper, wouldn't you say? Would you say maybe it's the mature sons of God? And then there was something that was even just so gripped my heart this week. And I'd never seen this, and the Holy Spirit brought it out. But probably the most meaningful of all is that son of God in that 8th chapter. It means a foal. F-O-A-L. And that is the ass's colt. The word foal is found just a few places in the Word of God. And the first one is in Genesis 40:11. And you don't have to turn there, but mark that. And it says in verse 40:11 that this foal is bound to the choice vine. It's precious. You'll see in there that there's ones that are bound to the vine, but the foal is bound to the choice vine. All right? It's a study within a study, and I hope it'll melt your heart. But I want to move along. I don't want to get too bogged down in it. But in Zechariah 9:9 and Matthew 21:5, that's where we read about Jesus Christ and his triumphant entry into Jerusalem when he comes back for that Passion Week. And as he enters in, as he's on that little donkey, he has a foal with him. And that foal, obviously, is such a wondrous type of his bride. Now, I'm not trying to link things that aren't. I'm just giving you like it is. And you know about the bride. I think the Lord has strummed your heartstrings. But brothers and sisters, those sons of God is the foal that's with him there, coming in to that wondrous Jerusalem and that triumphant entry. It's his bride. It's the ones that are being led of the Spirit of God. And I'm so grateful to know that. And as you go through the Word of God, he'll allow it to sink in. I believe that he allows us to rightfully divide. And even if these things aren't understood, he even makes that known to us. But is there any doubt then why all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of these sons of God? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So such wonderful things here in this 1 John. And again, we're just touching the surface. I hope we don't ever think that we're anything. There's so much here, brothers and sisters, we could never even get into it. I'm just thankful that I've got the exceeding ages and the exceeding riches of the ages to come that he's going to show forth, praise God, and his kindness, all of that love to us. Isn't that going to be a wonderful thing? All right, let's go on to verse 3 of 1 John. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, a lot of people say, well, see, that's the evidence of somebody being saved. They're going to purify themselves. That's not true. You're going to find people that give their heart to the Lord, and that was the only thing that you'll ever see of an evidence of Christ in their life was the moment they received Christ. And that was it. And a lot of times we try to judge it. A lot of times we try to justify. Oh, that guy could have never been saved. But let me tell you something. You don't know a thing. You don't. You don't know the microscopic mustard seed of that person that accepted Christ Jesus. Now, I want to know. I want to ask them and say, did you accept Christ as your personal Savior? I don't want to leave no bones about it. I don't want to be wondering when I'm at a deathbed talking to somebody. It was like this lady today. Thanks be to God. The first thing out of my mouth wasn't, well, you know, we need you to come to coffee or a study. No, do you know Him as your Savior? Let's just get down to it. Do you have hope? Can you pray to God? Do you know who you're praying to? Or are you just shouting out words? And that's exactly it. There's but one faith. Talk to so many people. And it's getting very sad. Different Christian churches. Well, we're all gathering together. You know, all these faiths. Man, when I hear that, it's just the devil has come in. And I'm telling you, and it's starting to take reign in that stuff. And pretty soon, Christ Jesus will be completely out the door. And know it. Know it. But it says here in this third verse, and we'll get into it here, but every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. See, this is much more than the seed or the new birth. This is speaking of those brothers and sisters that have a burning hope, a desire of his appearing. That word hope here means anticipating pleasure. Do you anticipate pleasure with the Lord? I hope you do. I know that there's some Christians that are anticipating pain. Let's not look at it like that. If we suffer with Him, we're going to reign. But I'm going to tell you something. The temporal sufferings aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Know what you got coming. And rejoice in that. And thank the Lord that there is joy in that suffering. Jesus Christ so showed us that because of the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. That was the only thing that set Him up on that cross, was the joy of, praise the Lord, of healing and completely ridding my life, as I believe in Him, of sin. Isn't that wonderful? I've got a family coming. I know, praise God, that He and the Father rejoiced in that in the ages past. Son, we're going to have a family. I'm going to have many sons. I'm going to have a sweet time. But you know what, son? It's not good that man live alone. And you're going to have a bride too. And I could just see him look at the Father and think of all that grace and the humility of my wonderful Lord. That in a way, I don't know how it would really be, but it was like, oh me, Father, I'm going to have a bride. Just like I'm saying today, oh Lord, you've proposed to me that I can marry you. I believe the heart sentiment is very similar of that bride and groom. An absolute wonder, one toward the other. You love me like that. And I look at him and I said, how could I not? How could I not love you like that? How could I not want to go after you, Lord? Lord, you've convicted my heart. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. All these things that have weighted me down for all of these years, all that baggage comes in all different kinds of forms. Comes from upbringing, heritage, education. Oh, we're in one last week, pride. Be in one, if God tarry this week, greed. Week after that, jealousy. Week after that, I don't know if anybody shows up anymore. I'm here to run, how about you? Amen. And not running away. I'm running toward it. I'm running toward it. The sweet brother says, yeah, I'm running toward it. I always feel like I'm running toward a brick wall at full speed. But you know what? He doesn't just move it. He allows me to jump over that wall. And he does. Leaping. Praise God. We're going to leap right out of here someday. But brothers and sisters, it's anticipating pleasure. See, when we anticipate pleasure, we start to really fall in love with Him. And not just in love with Jesus as friend, not just in love with Him as Father, my Father God, but, praise the Lord, in love with His appearing. That's a special love. Not in love with His appearing, God, to get me out of this cesspool. But Jesus, I just want to be with You. I just want to gaze into Your face. I want to hold You. You've been holding me all these years. I want to hold You. I want You to be in my arms that way. And praise the Lord, the more that we covet that, brothers and sisters, the more that we are washed and cleansed daily. I think of sweet Brother Hawkins and how over and over when you hear him preach, he speaks often of be immersed in the Word of God. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I believe we have been called by grace and we are moving to be immersed in the Word of God. You can never get enough. You could never get too much. By the grace of God, it needs to be everywhere. I appreciate that it's on our walls. I appreciate that it's on our coffee tables. I appreciate that it's everywhere. But most importantly, Lord, let it be written across my heart. Let it be mine. Let it become something that is mine. Hallelujah. And this is the operation, brothers and sisters, of sanctification is what it's talking about here. The sanctification separated each and every moment. Do you realize in a Bible study like this how much more we're being separated to Christ? What do you think about that? How separated were you to Christ this day? Did you enter into the world a little bit? Come on now. But you know what? He still held you. Did you lose your temper today? Don't answer that. Did you think some thoughts in different ways? Aren't you thankful by the grace of God He at least can take this time and this moment? But see, because He takes this time and this moment, He's putting Word into your life and your life and your life and your life. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, we've asked Him. We've asked the Lord. Lord, in Your promises, You gave us this Spirit. Now let it work effectually. Let the love of God be shed abroad in my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. That sanctification, it's operating. It's operating. And praise the Lord, He keeps separating me to Him. And you know what? It's not hard to go unto Him, out from among them, out from the camp, and say, Jesus, I love You. I want to dwell with You. I don't need all of this stuff anymore. I don't need all of this, in a sense, the hand-holding of the world. Now, I want to dwell together with You if we're going to settle down in marriage. But if you don't want to do that, by the grace of God, I'm going on. And that's how it needs to be, brothers and sisters. We can have all of the, in a sense, hand-holding we want and the back rubbing and all of those things. But we better be satisfied with Jesus alone. I'm convinced. I'd be harming you if I didn't tell you that. I'm so grateful to God we have a love that He's given. That we love to gather together. But it's not to gather together. It's to gather unto Him. Amen. That He is the focus of this. That everything that we've said and done is to the glory. To magnify the name of Jesus. And that's what it needs to be. And then, so wonderful, you talk about sanctification. Saved to the uttermost. Out from this old world, saved from the tribulation itself. And I think it could begin in about 5 or 10 minutes. I think they started that debate. So I don't know what time it is, but well, I just kind of joshing with you a little bit. I hope we're in tune with His coming. I don't really want to be here to see how that settles out. No. I just pray that people get in tune with the Lord. I pray that this country somehow, some way would turn to the Lord. But I see Him turning more and more to things that are apart from God. all the things that they're doing, brothers and sisters, it's a shame. And it's a shame on all of them. And it's not in a party. Oh no, it's in Jesus. And know it. The devil's coming in subtle ways. I don't even think he's being too subtle anymore. I think he's just blunt. He's robbing our schools, taking the name. Well, Jesus, you don't even hear, but they're trying to even get rid of God. But once you got rid of Jesus, you got rid of God too. So I don't know what you're trying to pull. But brothers and sisters, we're in quite a time. Now let's go ahead and read verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now let me tell you something. This could scare you if you didn't know the truth. If you wrestle with the scriptures, if you're wrestling with eternal security, go ahead and be afraid. Because you should be with this verse. You should be with all of 1 John. But all I know is that the Word of God tells me that perfect love casts out all fear. Every bit of it. There isn't any. Then I don't believe that the Word of God would ever be written to a believer, a son of God, to make me fear. The one thing I can honestly say about raising my children, I've never raised even my natural children in fear. I want them to respect me. I want them to honor their dad. I want them to listen and all of those things. I don't want them to fear me. I want them to know that I love them. And I love them enough that I will correct them. But that's not fear. That's called reverence. That's called respect. And this is what God wants with His children, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something. He's not a God to make His children fear. He wants us to love Him. Praise the Lord. So let's nip this in the bud of what He's talking about here in verse 4. Let's go over to Romans 3. Let's read chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. I was just rejoicing. Brother Ty was going over this all on Sunday morning. But chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith," listen to this. Let's talk about the Ten Commandments here. The law of the Lord, all of those things. "It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Let's go over to chapter 6 now of Romans in verse 14. "For sin shall not have dominion over you," this is a Christian, "for ye are not under the law, but under grace." It still absolutely dumbfounds me how the majority of Christianity thinks that we merit something with God by ourselves trying to keep the law. I don't get it. I don't know how clear it could be. We are under grace. You are under grace. Let's read verse 5 of 1 John. Let's keep it going. "And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin." See, this is for us. Now let's go back to Romans 3 again. And we're going to start reading Romans 3. And now let's read the 21st through the 23rd verse. Manifest. Remember, He's manifest. Now let's read Romans here about the manifestation. "But now the righteousness of God without the law," without the law, "is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then let's go over to the 28th verse. And here's your conclusion. Listen to this. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's that easy. It's that simple. That blood is that powerful. And praise the Lord, that's it. Now, as we go on to verse 6 here, this is the light that, praise God, as it comes into our life, I pray that we're just becoming illuminated in the grace of God. And let's go ahead and read verse 6 of 1 John. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen Him, neither known Him. All right. In Christ, brothers and sisters, this is what it's speaking of. His incorruptible seed. You have it? There's no sin in that. And praise God, we have His life. He's going to remind us in a moment in verse 9. If you just glance down there, it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's you. And you and you and you. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's who you are. Is it starting to connect back to where you hear me say, that guy that's committing that sin in your life, that's not you. What do you think of that? Do you believe it? Oh, I hope you do, honeys. That's for you. Praise God. That's the love that He has given. That's the life that He has given you. His life. And when we start to really realize that, the power. You talk about power. But that's the power in believing. Not believing in me, but believing what's in me. That it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. That I don't need to go floundering around like that anymore because I realize who I am in Christ. I've got it all. I have access to everything. And then you get filled with the Holy Spirit and my, oh my, you can grow up. All of the things of Christ by the grace of God can become mine. They're there for me. Open hands. Open heart, Lord, in faith. Allow me to receive it. I want to grow up into all things in Christ Jesus. And this is the offering that we had. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. But a sinner doesn't see Him. A sinner doesn't know Him. A sinner can't help but sin. Because a sinner is dead in their trespasses and sin. They were born in it. They were shapen in it. And if they've never accepted Christ Jesus, they're still dead in it. It's either one way or the other. All right, let's move on to verse 7. Little children. Uh-oh. He's talking to a lot of people here, isn't he? I think he's talking to me. Lord, help my unbelief. When I'm tossed to and fro, do you think that mature son in faith just went back to a little child? What do you think? He's speaking to you. Don't think that you can ever not learn from the Word of God. I hope we're attentive. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, it's back to little children. These are infants. And infants can be deceived very easily, swayed with every wind of doctrine. So it's very important. I was thinking of Sister Velma as she was able to, she said, praying for that woman that she witnessed to. It's extremely important for all of God's children, but it's extremely, extremely important for little newbie babies, infants in Christ, to get the Word of God. When the Lord allows you to give somebody the Word of God, pray that the Lord enable you to give them the truth. And I mean it. Because immediately, see, the devil didn't even pay attention to them when they're dead in sin, trespasses and sin. The devil got you right where you are. I don't need to pay attention to you. You're beaten, defeated, dead, whatever you want to talk about. Uh-oh, they got saved. I got to try to do something about that. But that's when you need to tell that child of God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And it's time to grow up. It's time to go on. Praise the Lord. And that is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important and imperative to get the truth and to want the truth and to grow in the truth. We've been made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that we are righteous. We need to understand that we are holy. You're righteous and holy. You're perfect that way. That child that's born can't be any more of a human. It's as human as going to be. That little baby infant. The only difference is between that baby and myself or different ones out here is we've grown up. That's exactly the type, the shadow that the Word of God gives us in His Word. And that is the question, is are we going to grow up? Are we going to live by the grace of God who we've been called to be? And I believe nothing says it better than when Brother Hill used to talk about that royalty, the prince. There's the big castle. There's the palace. There's the rooms, the quarters, all of those things. And that little guy is just out there wallowing in the mire and in the mud. Still royalty. Still part of the family. But yet dwelling in the mire. And that's what God is calling us out to. Come out of that. But yet many Christians choose exactly that when they refuse to walk with God. All right, let's move on to verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Tell you what, he's not pulling any punches here. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And it is getting stronger here. Not only do sinners sin, and this is talking about those that have rejected Christ Jesus as Savior. Let's make sure we get that complete understanding of what he's talking about here. They are of the devil. Now this is a hard one for people to take. This is a hard one for many Christians to take. Because we have friends and we have family that we love very, very much. That have done very kind things to us. That we have good times with. But yet if they have not accepted Christ, they're a sinner. And it says this very clearly, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, does that mean to necessarily run and flee from that person? Or does that mean, Lord, help me to have a passion for that soul? Not just love them as my friend, not just love them as my family, because that ain't loving them enough. I'm talking to love them as you love them, Lord. To love them so much that, you know what, I can't be with you unless I tell you about the things of God. I can't be with you until I speak to you about accepting Christ Jesus as your Savior. Every time you're going to see me, I'm going to tell you about my Savior. And until you tell me that you don't want me around you anymore, that's all I can do. But I'm going to give it to you in love. Now, what do you think about that? I believe that that's the way the Lord would have us deal with people. Brothers and sisters, don't just throw it in the back burner. Don't just throw it over the side and say, you know what, that's somebody else's job. That's for somebody else to bring to them. By the grace of God, we meet people and there's purpose in every person we meet. I'm convinced of it. Now, I understand that we don't just throw our pearl among swine. I'm not going there. I understand the Word of God in that. But when He's had us have relationships with people and to know different ones, and we haven't told them about our Jesus, shame on us. Shame on us. They need to know who we are. Don't hide your light. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And I hope you would love them enough to want to give them the Word of God. To give them the Word of God in love. Sure, it might irritate them. I've irritated a lot of people. I irritated people not telling them about the Word of God. But you give them the Word of God. And you tell them. And you love them. And that's what this is about. But see, it hurts your heart to know that these people have the enemy's seed. But more so, it hurts God's heart. And look what he says here. The Son of God was manifested for this. He became sin for us. He died in that so we could be free from it. And because of that, that devil, let me tell you something, he's defeated. He's absolutely defeated. The provision through the blood for complete forgiveness is there for all the world. Now let's move along. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Whew. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now how I love this verse. This is who we are, brothers and sisters. We're new creation. Victorious in Christ over sin and death. He hath no dominion over us. The old man that wants to sin and often fails me, that's not me. I have the newness of life. I am called to live and be who I am by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And notice what it says there. That seed, praise the Lord, remaineth in him. That means continually. It's constant. I can't be separated from the love of God. It's the incorruptible or the uncorruptible seed. Exactly what it says. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be separated. Praise the Lord. Continually to dwell with him. Never to be taken away. I am a son of God. Not will be. Not a maybe. I'm an heir of God. Every child is an heir. But thanks be to God that there's a calling for a joint heir together with Christ. And it's forever. And we'll finish up with verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh, how true and simple. Let's talk about this righteousness. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Want to be righteous? Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand before you, not because of anything I did, but I'm righteous. I've been made the very righteousness of God in him. And I'm so thankful that because I am now a son of God, that I am of God, that I am righteous and that I am holy. And that the more real, the more of this vision, by the grace of God that I'll accept and I'll take, the more of those enlarged steps that Brother David talked about. And you just think about all of those that tried to point out his sin. You're nothing. You're a failure. You're a fake. You're a Christian? Ha! I've got a family line that never did what you did, David. And we've been worshiping idols for ages. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. And that word is true, brothers and sisters. And that's what you have to know, what your Savior Jesus Christ did for you. What he became for us. I can't imagine all the sin he became for me. But it wasn't just for me. It was for all the sin of the world. Upon the Lamb of God. I just stand before him in awe. And I think, Lord, it didn't stop there. If I'll just keep receiving it. It's from glory to glory to glory. And he's building that glory in my life. He wants me to reflect that same glory. He wants me to possess it. He says that I was a vessel of four prepared unto glory. That's how much He loved us, brothers and sisters. And yet, I think one of the greatest things, and we talked about it earlier, that old self-condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There isn't any. So what you're thinking there is doesn't exist. Can you get there in faith? I hope you can. That's how you're going to... You already are free. Do you understand that? But are you going to live free? Are you going to live that abundant life? Are you going to accept what He's already done? And say, Lord, You've done that for me? I think I'm just going to settle down and grow now. I think if I don't have to worry about that anymore, then that's not going to reign over me anymore. Because I realize You took care of that for me. Brothers and sisters, when He said that it is finished, you put your name on that. It is finished for Jesse. It is finished for you, and you, and you, and you. That's the victory. And it's unlimited. And it's in everything. And God's just by His grace pointing out all of the victory that you need to accept from Him. I got a lot of it. I don't know about you. But you know what? That's one thing I'm going boldly in to get every day. Lord, You did that for me too. And You did that for me too. And you know what? Someday it's going to be right into the very image of Him. If we won't stop by the grace of God, He's got it pouring forth. And someday, could you imagine by grace to be the Son of God that's seen there in Romans 8? Now, He's given you that message. You've heard me say it before. He's counted you worthy to hear this. How about tonight saying, Lord, make it more real to me? I don't care if you're sitting back there and you're seeming like you're a little bit stuck saying, well, I don't know. I don't care about you. I care about what God can do. I don't care about where your thoughts are. I care about His mind in you. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to be rough. I'm just telling you as it is. I put my confidence in You. We're all going to fail. But I put my confidence in Him and all of the provisions that He's already made, which is every one. I've got victory in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Mm-hmm.